You're listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 101. Welcome to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 101. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Ruck Off podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have Kadre Regnar on to talk about a brand new event that GRUCK's putting on called The Originals. It's a tough event, which will be occurring at the end of June. It will be in one city. It will be yearly, and it's pretty exciting to see who's running it and what they've got planned for it. Before I called Regnar, I had an idea of what I wanted to talk about with him. And then after talking about some of the Originals content, we end up straying, talking about future events of GRUCK, some things they have in store for 2020, just a ton of really good conversations. We even get into a little bit on a team assessment, selection, his first event, and then the future for him at GRUCK. So although I went into this thinking we were going to talk solely about the Originals, we end up having a much bigger conversation, and I really like where it went. I found it fascinating, and I think that you're going to get a kick out of this one. Before we get into the interview, as always, a huge thank you to everyone who has taken some time to leave a review on either Facebook or on Apple Podcasts. This week, we have a recommendation from Bill. Great info on all things rucking. Thank you so much, Bill, for taking the time to leave that. That was over on the All Day Ruck Off Facebook page. I truly appreciate you taking time out of your day to leave that. Thank you, everyone listening, so much for all the incredible support. And here is the interview with Kadre Regnar. Today, I'm talking with Kadre Regnar. I'm really excited to have him on. We're going to get into how he got involved in GRUCK, maybe talk a little bit about his first event. And then we're really going to focus on The Originals, which is a brand new GRUCK Tough event for 2019. And it's going to be a yearly event held at the same location each year, which is something that I'm excited about. It feels, reading the description, more like a destination event, kind of like the Bragg Heavy, than a traditional special events run by GRUCK. So I can't wait to get into this. Kadre Regnar, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much again for taking the time, man.
Absolutely.
I know you're busy. I know you just finished up running a lot of work at team assessments, and I know you've got a lot on your calendar coming up, so I appreciate this.
Yeah, always good to get on and talk to you guys.
So before we get into the Originals, I would love to hear your story about how you got tied in with GRUCK and how all that worked out for you, how you became a cadre.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because it's an appropriate story for the rest of this conversation. I served in 10th Special Forces Group, and actually I commanded the company that Jason McCarthy served in. And he basically came into the company, we basically high-fived, you know, I was on my way out, he was on his way in. So we know all the same actors, right? all the guys in Alpha Company 210. So fast forward, you know, many years after that, and that would have been like 07. I got out and retired in 2011. And in 2013, I was actually heard about GRUCK. I kind of looked into it a little bit, but I was prepping for this pretty cool trip I went on to. We went down to Argentina and circumnavigated Mount Fitzroy, which is a big glacier walk, basically. But anyhow, one of the guys on the event was a GRUCK cadre, John Bremer, and he's like talking to me about it. He's like, yeah, man, I'll hook you up with Mocha Mike, it'll all be good. And so when we got back from that trip, I reached out to Mocha Mike and Joel Fassbender also worked in my company when I was a company commander. We actually deployed to Iraq together. And so yeah, that was kind of how I found my way back to GRUCK. And after I got, you know, my first tough under my belt and shadowed, I sent a note to Jason, and you know, he kind of wrote me back, and he's like, man, it's really cool to see you wanting to be part of, you know, what we're doing. And I mean, it all just started right there, really. It, and now I'm trying to get out of my real job so I can go work at GoRock for full time as the director of events. So full circle.
Yeah, no kidding. So that first event you did, like you mentioned, you have to do an event to become a cadre, and then you have to shadow an event. Where was your event and who ran that one?
So my event was right here where I am today in Colorado Springs. And Cadre Jake was my cadre. He's one of our Israeli Defense Force guys. So we ran a tough right here in Colorado Springs, probably about 20 participants. And it was pretty funny because I flew into town for it, and I didn't even have a GoRuck bag at the time. And so Jake picked me up at the airport, and I said, "Hey man, I reached out to Joel Fassbender. He said he would give me a ruck and a ruck plate. Can you take me over to his house?" And I hadn't seen Joel in like 7 or 8 years, and go over there. And Joel gave me gave me everything I needed. And he said, "Hey, why don't we go out for dinner before the event?" And I'm like, "Oh, great. Let's do it." You know, I at this point I have looked into GoRuck very minimally, other than, you know, I just knew that, you know, leading these events might be something fun. Right. So we go out and get some burgers and some beers, and we got done eating at like 8:15 PM, you know, an hour and 15 minutes from the event starting. And so we go over there, you know, I get in formation, do my thing, and pretty soon the welcome party starts, and, you know, we're low crawling and buddy carrying and doing all the normal stuff. And I'm about ready to lose this burger and beers I've got in me. And I can remember laying on my back with my ruck over my head doing flutter kicks, and Joel's over top of me smiling with his camera out taking pictures, right? So yeah, that was my first tough. It was here in Colorado, and then I shadowed the light right after that with Cadre Jake.
Now that's a friend.
What are friends for, right?
Absolutely. Load you up with burgers right before the event and bring a camera. Only good things can happen. So was the event pretty much what you expected? I mean, based on the minimal research that you had done, or were you a little surprised with how it went?
I don't think I ever picked up on the whole idea of the welcome party before. Otherwise, it was pretty much what I would expect, right? We made some litters out of 2x4s and t-shirts, and had sandbags. And there's this trail that runs along Fountain Creek that runs down through the middle of Colorado Springs, but it's a big, you know, concrete trail. We probably walked that thing like, I don't know, we probably did 20, 22 miles that night. But yeah, everything else was kind of to be expected. I just didn't know that, you know, I was going to get smoked for about an hour before it all started.
Yeah, that can be a surprise to some. So you complete your first tough, you shadow your event, you become a cadre. This is back in, it sounds like 2013?
No, it would have been more like this is my third year, so it's 2016.
Okay, 2016, got it. So between 2016, now we're in 2019, you've run a lot of events. And so I've seen, you know, your face showing up on Tufts. I've seen it show up in the live feed for selection, for team assessment. So you've really done, you know, quite the scale. Do you have a preference personally on which events you run? Do you like the shorter, lighter ones, or do you get a kick out of those selection and team assessment style events?
I mean, I really like selection. I do like running the HTLs just because I really like working with other cadre. A lot of time the lights are just shy of where we would put a second cadre out there. So, I'm really going to be focused on team assessment, you know, for the next couple of years, probably just because, you know, it's kind of one of the things coming in as a new guy. I was like, hey, you know, looking at your portfolio, basically the gap in the events was something competitive other than, you know, selection's kind of competitive, but it's not head to head competitive, right? It's kind of endure. And so when BD was still down at headquarters, you know, I pitched him on this idea of what became team assessment. It didn't originally start off that way. We were actually trying to make 3-person teams, but what you saw was the beta for what's to come in the future on that. So I really like those kind of elite class level, you know, selection and assessment events. And as I take on this role, you know, more and more, you know, I'm doing it part-time right now as the director of events for GORUCK. Once I get in there full-time, I'll probably run a lot less events and just focus on, you know, the growth of the company as a whole in from an events perspective.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, right? When you get into those kind of roles, it's harder to run a lot of events, just, you know, banging yourself into the ground every weekend, because it is a lot of work for cadre to travel out, stay up all night, all day, possibly all night and all day again, and then get back and do that, those high level tasks, looking at the entire organization of GORUCK and the events. So I'm excited for you.
Yeah, and you know, there's just a lot to do as well at headquarters. I mean, the idea is not to just keep doing the same thing every year. We're trying to continue to elevate our game so that our, you know, our community grows and the people that are in our community really feel like they're getting a quality product and that their experiences keep changing. So there's a ton of stuff we're working on at headquarters right now that'll you know, unfold over the next year or two, or you know, probably well into the future, but that's going to add more to what we offer at GORUCK Events.
I'm excited to see it. Last time I had Jason on, he spilled a little bit about kind of an event that would run around the country. And if you completed that, then you got to take part in a higher level event, possibly down at HQ. So I don't know what you guys have in store, but I know that everything I've heard has made me pretty excited about the future of GORUCK Events.
Yeah, I'll throw one teaser out there. We are revamping Constellation for 2020.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think you guys will like the changes we've made, and we're working real hard right now to get some better venues where we can do some more stuff at. So it should be Constellation should be big for 2020 as far as, you know, kind of unveiling that. We'll probably run a couple betas towards the end of the year to test out the curriculum. But yeah, that's in the build phase right now.
Perfect. Well, when you can say more and have some concrete details, let's do another call. I did Constellation back in 2017, 2018, and then again in 2019. So I've done it all 3 years, and it's been really cool to watch it change and evolve even since the first one. So I can't wait to see what you guys have in store for 2020.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
So the originals, how did that idea come about for this event? Was that something that you pitched to Jason, or did someone else come up with it? Where did the idea for this event come from?
So in my current job, I have a lot of interaction with the military, and I was on a trip and I met the 10th Special Forces Group commander. So he's the senior 06 in charge of 10th Special Forces Group at Fort Carson. And, you know, we were chatting over a few beers, and he told me about, you know, the group commanders are there for like 2 years, right? So he's in he'll be changing command this summer, right after our event. So he was telling me about this thing that he's doing at the group headquarters, which is, they have a regimental mess, right? Like it's kind of based off the kind of the British system, almost what we used to call in the military an officer's club, but it's right on the Special Forces compound. And we've had it for a number of years. It was meant to be, you know, the special place where you did things, you know, the kind of like a bar, but it was also places where you would do like retirement ceremonies or special occasions that were military focused, right? Unit focused. And then we had all those years of war and nobody did anything in it. And it just kind of died. Right. So when he took command, he went in there and he's like, man, we got to fix this. You know, this old, it's dingy looking, you know, we need to re-institutionalize what the mess is supposed to be. And so he did that. And the other thing he did was he found that all the members of 10th group that had passed away in combat, or training, they have their pictures at group headquarters, but they don't, I mean, they're in like the standard Army issue frame and they're nowhere special. They're kind of just put away somewhere. So what he wanted to do is take the regimental mess and display all of our, you know, former 10th group guys that died in the line of service. And also we have some Valorous Award winners, right? You know, and we even have some Medal of Honor winners. So that's a long story to say they spruced up this regimental mess and put all these pictures of the guys in there. And he's running this annual event called The Meeting. And he came up with the idea for the title of The Meeting from a, there's an old print that exists. And it's basically a bunch of SF guys around a table with a map out, and they're doing unconventional warfare, and they're, you know, it's them planning. I wouldn't say it's a famous picture, but it's been around for a long time, right? And the title of that print was called The Meeting. So he's got this thing called The Meeting where former and current unit members all get together at the regimental mess, and, you know, everybody's supposed to come and, you know, be prepared to talk about somebody that's passed or, you know, one of the Valorous Award winners, and just share stories, because a lot of the young guys don't know the history of our unit and some of those that have gone before them, kind of getting lost in time, and, you know, everybody's just too busy, right? So, you know, I thought, man, I'd like to go to that. That sounds pretty cool. And he goes, well, it's actually in the middle of Organizational Week, which is, Organizational Week happens every year in the third week in June. And it happens that week because on June 19th, 1952 is when the United States Army commissioned 10th Special Forces Group, which was the first Special Forces Group in service, hence the term the Originals. He said, yeah, you guys could come out and, you know, you could come out and see Org Week. And just so everybody understands, Org Week is like this week where the unit takes a break. And they have a bunch of competitions. They have the meeting thing that goes on. And then on Friday night, they have the group ball. So it's a formal, right? And so I thought, man, that'd be great. I'm going to tell Jason about this. He might want to go. And when I called him up, I said, hey, you know, we just kind of pitched him on the idea of running an event in conjunction with it. And he's like, yeah, that's great. And he literally thought about it for like 10 seconds. He's like, yeah, we'll call it the Originals. So here we are. We've got it coordinated. We've got 21 people signed up. And this is coincidental that we're having this call right now, because I just left 10th Group headquarters, talking to the group commander, and this is going to be a special event. So I'll give everybody a little bit of a preview. We are going to conduct this event on 10th Special Forces Group's compound, so on Fort Carson. So all the participants that we brought in, I think we'll probably bring them in on a bus on the base and take them over to the compound, and we're going to do an event that's where those guys train, fight, and live. Well, they don't really fight, but they train and live there, right? So we'll get to see the compound, and we will have some interaction with some Special Forces guys, some active duty guys, and let's see, what else do I want to share? We'll probably get to meet the group commander, probably get a talk from him. So it should be a pretty interesting opportunity to do a Go Ruck event on base, for one, and to do part of it and have some interaction with current active duty Special Forces soldiers.
Yeah, you don't hear about too many events, you know, that are happening on base. So it definitely sounds like it's going to be a unique event.
Well, you know, the Bragg Heavy was originally on Fort Bragg.
It was, but it got moved off, right? For the past couple of years, it's been at the...
So, you know, Fort Bragg is like the intersection of, you know, about 50 major highways in terms of, you know, activity that goes on there. So it's really cool that they were able to do it there. I'm not quite sure how many times they did it on Bragg, but I could understand why it's not at this point. You know, Cadre Dan leads that and coordinates that one. And I went to Bragg Heavy 2 years ago and got to see how the setup and everything. It's a good setup, but yeah, this one, our intent is to bring them on base. You know, I can't guarantee it'll happen every year either, but we've made some arrangements just based on relationships that are going to get us on there this time. So pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I'd imagine that there would have to be a lot of signatures to get something on base over at Bragg. I did a custom light on base down at JBLM back in, I don't know, 2013 or 2014 or something. And I remember I was talking to the cadre that was leading that event, and he was saying that it was just tons and tons of signatures just to make that happen. It almost fell through a couple times. And there's just a lot that goes into making something like this work.
Yeah. So the other thing I would add is the intent is we're going to do this annually, and we're going to try to Jason and I, and there's a few other cadre who are from 10th Group, try to just come back to our roots and stay connected with, you know, the people we served with and the unit we served with. And it'll be a good opportunity to, you know, put something on the calendar that's reoccurring and a little bit different. You know, it's going to be, it won't be a traditional tough. It'll have some different flings to it each year. So I think that's something to look forward to. And who knows, you know, we may have a cadre from all the other special forces groups go, well, I want to do that at my unit. And so you might see us, I don't know if this will grow into something else or not. I mean, right now we have Bragg Heavy, right? We're in the process of creating a Marine Corps equivalent for 2020. So basically a Marine Heavy. Stuff like that is what we're growing and adding to the schedules as we develop this thing out a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. The special events that happen in all, you know, all the cities, they're fun. And it's always interesting to see how the events compared in different cities and what kind of things people did. But the events that occur in one location year over year, I feel like at least after the first year or so, the cadre and the people running it really get a really good feel for the area. And, you know, they just become these events that are hold stories of their own as they progress.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I'm excited to see more of these types of events get added to the calendar. And that's honestly what drew me to the originals first. When I saw it come through, I was like, oh, cool, another, you know, GORUCK special event. And then I popped it open. I started reading the description and it mentions that it's going to be held in one location and it's going to be year over year in that location. And immediately what popped in my head was, you know, Bragg Heavy.
Yeah. So I would say they're similar in the sense that it's annual and reoccurring. And I don't think that the originals will ever become the magnitude of the event that Bragg Heavy is, because that wasn't the intent, right? It's more about connecting with the active duty side and being on base and trying to kind of look back at our roots. Bragg Heavy is very in its own class, if you will, as far as the intensity of what happens at the Bragg Heavy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Now, I will tell you that when you talk about these special events, we're continuing to change up what'll be on the calendar. So next year you'll see, and we kind of got some anchor points each year, you know, Memorial Day and Veterans Day and 9/11 and Moog Mile. Those are kind of anchor point events. Those probably won't ever change, but all the other events, we're going to just keep throwing out new things that are special operations kind of focused and, you know, keep pushing out new stuff. Should be, it's almost endless.
That's exciting to hear that you'll be kind of refreshing those events year over year. It gives, you know, the participants in the city a chance to learn even more history than, you know, than they might have known before.
Yep. And the other thing we're doing is this is kind of turning into a multi-point discussion here, but which is cool. We're really trying to grow our cadre pool a little bit bigger too. So we've got a lot of guys in the pipeline right now, bringing on more cadre, holding them to the same standard, but we're trying to bring on more so that we can do more in the future years and really get some of the survival events back so that people can attend those. And then of course we've got everything going on with the Star Course now too, which has added a lot to the plate.
Oh yeah. I mean, the Star Course is a huge endeavor, right? Three events per weekend. I think there's 26 Star Course cities this year. I mean,
yeah, I think it's 27. Yeah.
Yeah, 27. I mean, if it was a single company trying to put on 27 Star Courses, that'd be a huge endeavor. But that's just one more thing on top of the already huge offering that GORUCK's got out there.
Yep. It's a lot. That takes me back to the beginning of the conversation where once I, you know, as the director of events, I'm going to be doing more management than I am running events in the future, just because there's so much to do to keep that machine going. And it's the right thing to do. You know, the cadre are fully capable. They won't miss me in the lineup. So it'll be it's the right thing to do, right? There's just a lot on the plate, and we got a lot of things on our minds that we want to add to the plate. So that's kind of going to be the focus for me.
That's exciting for you. And for people who are listening and they haven't done an event with you yet, or maybe they have and they want to do another one, should they be kind of checking out your calendar and figuring out where they can catch you before you start doing less events?
Well, so the events that I always go to, I'll probably always attend assessment and selection. So there's two you can go to.
There you go. Just sign up for a selection or assessment, and you can for sure hang out with Kadri Ragnar.
Yeah, and I started the hard hitter HTL, so that'll be one that I usually go to. That was started Dave Roten, who we started that event around his death in 2014. He was one of my guys that served with Jason and Will Lindsay, who recently passed away out here in Afghanistan. And so that'll be on my calendar. And my Ranger background tells me that I'll probably, if we can't fill all the events, I'll probably attend one of the Mogmao events each year. So there'll be a few events that I get involved with, and particularly anything at Jack's Beach will be easy to be at. So, well, it's not like I won't do events at all, but there's just a lot of other stuff I've got to focus my time on.
For sure. And with the ideas that you've got right now, I mean, I'd rather have you focusing on that and making everything that you're talking about, the future of Gork events, happen, as opposed to running an extra tough every month or something like that. So
yeah.
I'm excited about what you're going to bring.
Sure.
That's going to be freaking awesome, man.
Yeah. So we got a busy couple of weeks coming up. We're heading to the Rogue Invitational. This is a partnership between Rogue, the fitness company, and GORUCK. And that, of course, Rogue is sponsoring this big invitational CrossFit event next weekend. So, the timeline's public now. So GORUCK is the opening event for all athletes. It's going to be televised. Well, it'll be recorded and played later in the month of July, but it'll be on CBS. So this will be some good airing time for GORUCK and for us to kind of merge a little bit with that community a little bit more deliberately. And then, of course, we've got D-Day events coming up real fast.
Yeah, those are coming in quick. And that's really cool that you guys are doing stuff with Rogue. I want to say again, I think, and I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but those black, all black, and then red webbing GR1s came out in 2013. And that was associated with the Rogue team in the CrossFit Games, which is, I think that's how Dan got his. But it was really cool to see that announcement when Jason put it out there. I was not expecting it.
Yeah, Jason being, he's got family in Ohio, and he's known the owners for Rogue for a while, and they've kind of flirted back and forth with this stuff before. So, I think the timing was just right. And it's great. You're going to see a bunch of GORUCK gear on the, for sale on the Rogue website. We're going to have a booth set up, so we're going to be talking to people and introducing them to rucking. And then of course we'll be doing, we've got, part of the event. So
yeah,
it'll be a really good weekend.
It should be. And so you're making a lot of trips out there to Ohio. You're there for team assessment. You're going back for Rogue.
We're going to do team assessment back in Ohio again next year.
So after running the beta, is that planned to be a yearly event?
Yes.
Perfect. So I remember when Selection first came out, it was basically like the Selection Roadshow. They ran that thing in a ton of different cities in 2014 or something, 2013. And then they ended up staggering it and just doing it twice a year, and then I think once a year, because there was just no one. They would have just a ton of black cities.
Yeah, I don't think we probably won't move team assessment around like that, just because it's a little bit more intensive, and the numbers at Selection now these days too would indicate that that's going to be we only do it once a year anyhow, but we got 207 people signed up for Selection this year.
Wow.
And that's just hard to move that around. It's easier for people to plan and go, hey, we know where it's at. We'll come to you.
when you've got the space out there for it, there's not many places that you can have that much crazy stuff going on and not have the cops called.
Yeah, right. And well, you know, the nice thing about when we do selection at Jack's Beach is obviously the beach is wide and open down there in Jacksonville, but we also have it's a little marshy area that's kind of like an island that we actually can rent the whole thing out. So it allows us to, you know, put a bunch of people out there and have it all under control. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that's probably a major component for, you know, selection being in two different cities, is that you get to know the areas and the what you can do there, get it rented so that you've got everything under control. Because I'm sure when, you know, they were running it city to city, they're trying to figure out, all right, where can we go where we can do all this crazy stuff and not be interrupted?
Yeah, you need to be off the beaten path a little bit for selection. You know, not too far off the beaten path, but, you know, obviously somewhere you can get medical attention to and all that. But it doesn't need to be as much in the public eye as a challenge event is how I would say it.
Yeah. And I mean, you've got the live streaming now, so anyone who wants to watch it can.
Yeah, that was a new role for me this time, doing all the live streaming with Jay. You know, I split duties with Jason and your arms can get tired holding up a camera for that long.
Yeah, that's not something that would come to mind right away, but I've done a bit of filming and I mean, it's surprising how quickly your arms can get tired from doing that kind of a thing.
Yeah, but that's an interesting endeavor just because everybody's asking questions while you're, you know, showing them what's going on and relating what's going on and where we've been and where we're going. And, you know, you get questions from every direction and you're trying to answer them all and keep everything in track. It's fun though, because, I mean, the Go Rock community is just a blast to interact with anyhow. So, doing it live is even more fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it adds just a bit of extra excitement and chaos over there, because you've just got questions coming in. I mean, from, you know, very specific things like what's that over there with Team 5, or to you know, the basic ones like what am I even watching here?
Yeah, we got to catch people up all the time. It probably, if anybody's like the long-term viewer, you know, they're watching the whole thing, they're probably like, man, these guys said this like 15 times. But you know, on our end, we're watching the camera screen and all the questions are coming up. You know, on one stream, you've got for the 15th time, hey, how many teams are left? You know, so you got to kind of go back and say, okay, we got some new viewers on now. We need to refresh, you know, let them know what's going on. But it's a good time. It's interactive, right? It's like watching reality TV, but you get to interact with it.
Yeah. I don't know about other people who are listening, but for me, at least, this is like reality TV I actually care about.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the people on the teams, you actually know them and have talked to them, and it's a little more real. So it seems like the live coverage has done really well. I mean, I know we're moving away from the originals here, but it seems like the live coverage has done really well for selection and for team assessment. Are there any plans to bring live coverage to other events? Like, I don't know, maybe Normandy or for anything else in the GARC line, to give people outside of the community or people who are in the community and want a look at what's going on, kind of a peek in there?
Yeah, so I'll give you a multi-part answer to that. I mean, we encourage all our cadre to go live from their events, and many do. They're usually short, you know, 2 to 5, maybe 7 minute clips, just to, you know, let people see what's going on. And then there's kind of the in-between. So, you know, we did full live coverage of selection last year. I think we got almost all of it. And we did about 80% on team assessment this year. And the reason it was 80% is, you know, people rucking in the middle of the night is kind of boring, you know, from an audience point of view. So, you know, we just didn't film all that. But I think in the future, you know, like I could see part-time coverage of Brag Heavy or, you know, some of the other special events, or even, you know, a block of instruction from Constellation or Immersion, or yeah, there's probably a whole laundry list of things you could live stream from. But you know, the more important part is telling people in advance that we're going to live stream and where we're going to post it at. So that's the advantage when we do selection and assessment. You know, GORUCK puts out hey, you know, get ready for live stream. It'll be on the Go Rock page starting live at this time, right? And so everybody tunes in. So that's kind of a long answer to your question, but yeah, I think we'll see a little bit more of that in different events. It is labor intensive. You couldn't, you know, Cadre couldn't run a tough light and live stream the whole thing by itself. But you know, it involves extra people. So those events where we have big, you know, kind of big support mechanisms like Brag Heavy, that's probably a place where we could see more of that. And this, I mean, even this year we had more dedicated photography and videography at Brag Heavy. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm constantly impressed with your, you know, media team over there, video team, whatever you want to call it. Because some of, you know, the pictures that come out, the content that comes out, it's always just awesome to look at.
Yeah. I mean, Andy, Kendra, and Nick, those guys, they basically put content out almost every day of the year. So they do an amazing job with such a small crew, right? So it's good stuff.
For sure. I know I'm coming up at the end of the time that you've got. And so if it's all right with you, I just want to circle back quick on the originals, put out some facts, and just give you a chance to say anything else you want to say.
Yeah, so if you're in the Colorado area, the 29th of June, sign up for the event. We're going to go on base. We're going to spend some time with current members of 10th Special Forces Group. I think we'll get an in-brief from the actual commander, Army Special Forces Colonel. And we're going to spend some time with some team guys, and you're going to get to see and get a feel for what it's like to be at 10th Group and train where they train. And we might even, who knows, we might even walk around with, you might have your ruck as a weight, and you might all each have a weapon to carry or something like that. So yeah, we're going to add some fun realism into it. And it'll be good for everybody that's Go Ruckers to get to meet some of the guys that are on active duty right now and spend some time with them, and should be a good time. And we're going to set up a tent at the end and drink some beer. So it's a complete Go Ruck event.
That sounds like the complete package right there. So for the originals event, all the participants who show up, who should they expect the cadre to be?
So right now, the intent is for Jason and I to be the cadre for the originals. And it'll probably look that way most years, unless it gets really big, and then we'll bring more cadre. It's going to be that way just because we want to participate in all those other activities we told you, you know, that I spoke about earlier, that are going on at the unit. You know, we're going to go to the group ball every year and attend the meeting each year. And, it's, you know, those things are going to be anchor points for us to kind of go to and attend yearly for ourselves. And hopefully people show up year after year.
And Jason doesn't run, you know, too many events anymore. So this could be a great opportunity to do an event with him.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess we will be able to say the same for you in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll get his, I mean, I want to keep a couple on the schedule each year. The hard hitter HTL is pretty near and dear to my heart. So I'd like to at least get into that one each year.
Man, Cadre Ragnar, thank you so much again for taking the time to talk with me, to go through. I mean, we covered a lot, how you got into Go Ruck, your first event, the originals, where it came from, and then just a lot on the future for Go Ruck events, which I didn't even think we'd get into. So thank you. Thank you again for taking all this time to chat with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. And we appreciate what you do for the community.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. This has been episode number 101. You can check the show notes, which include links to everything we talked about in this episode, at alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-101. I really hope you enjoyed this call with Ragnar. There was a ton of really good information, and I'm really glad that we were able to find time to chat. It definitely seems like he's going to be on a few more times in the future. We already have a couple messages back and forth about some future calls for some really good content. So something I'm definitely excited about. If you want to support the podcast, there's a couple ways to do that. You can support it for free by leaving reviews on either iTunes or on Facebook. You can also support the podcast by shopping in the All Day Ruck Off online store at alldayruckoff.com/store. Tons of rucking related gear, apparel, patches, hats, and that kind of stuff there. And then finally, a new way to support the All Day Rock Off podcast. You can head on over to patreon.com/allday rock off. There's a link in the show notes and you can support there. And that gets you access to some additional content, which is kind of fun. Some behind the scenes stuff and a few other small bonuses. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Kadri Ragnar. If you ever want to reach out, feel free to email me, Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayrockoff.com. Can't wait to hear from you. Hope you have a great time at any upcoming events. And as always, don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, rock harder.